I solemnly swear that niggas ain't shit.
Peace and blessings and manifestations. Welcome to another episode of Raw and Unfiltered, the podcast, the one and only, that I know of. That I out of the great state of the Confederacy.
Okay.
You know Alabama was the capital of the Confederacy. What is the great state of Alabama?
The great state of Alabama.
Because, you know, ain't no step too high for a high step. I don't know what the fuck that means, but I fuck with that. Ain't no step too high for a high step. But that white woman ain't say nothing else. She said that.
Who said that?
Kay Ivey.
I don't listen to that coffee mantra. I don't want to see that coffee mantra.
Well. Anyway, how art thou?
Thou is good. Thou is good. It's been a few days. How are you?
Better.
That's good.
Did the interview? Girl, I ain't interviewed in 4 years.
It's the did the interview. See what I mean? This
I ain't did an interview in 4 years.
You know, I agree. Like, because when I did that little thing for Target, I was like,
huh.
Luckily, you could shoot the video, because I had to redo, like, two of them, because I was like, this is different. This is different.
It was. And it was on the phone.
Oh. I'd have preferred that.
But I think she liked me. She was like, she really liked a lot of my talking points. So I was like, girl, I'm not even applying for nothing in the office, bitch. I'm applying to drive. You asking me about safety and all this other shit. Problem solving.
Okay, so if an office job was available for the right pay, would you?
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. That's all that matters.
9 to 5 to stay alive? Yes.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Why would I turn that down?
Amen.
I love benefits.
Amen.
Man, oh girl, you know, last episode we didn't have nothing for the people, really, for the My God Today segment. Mm-hmm. But let me tell y'all something. Within a matter of 2 days, y'all, in a matter of 2 days, the world never disappoints. The world never disappoints.
It's probably why they say we should know less of each other. It's probably why people say that, because the way you can go from knowing absolutely nothing to knowing a little too much is astounding.
That'd be the problem. That honestly would be the problem. Because you remember back when people was not as accessible?
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was just a lack of accessibility. I think it was just there wasn't a wide gaze on things the way it is now. Like, there's too many ways to see things. Helpful in a lot of places, harmful in a lot of places as well. So I think for the way that the world is now, I do think it is a healthy medium, because we need those things. So
did you know what they say? That's the thing you told me to buy.
Oh, okay.
That's what that was. That's what you don't smell the bleach stain? The bleach smell?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
God, but about that.
What we saying when people be like, press is good press? No, it's not.
Yeah, no. It's definitely not. I don't want to see you in the news of being on bitches. That's not good press.
That's not good press at all. It ain't gonna make me go, let me go see this motherfucker song. It's gonna make me go, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch? That's what it's gonna make me do.
I do think, because people were having a conversation about, you know, back in the day, how it was about dating. And people don't date anymore, you know, without social media. And it was like, well, how did you, or wanting to be posted on social media and things like that. And the conversation became, well, how did it happen before? And it's like, well, you have to remember, before, the way that you would date or let people know that you were dating someone is that you would take them places.
You would legit take them out and touch grass.
You would see them at gatherings. You would see them with family. You would see them at games. You would see them at the park. You would see them at the mall. All these things that would signify that clearly, you know,
they're together.
They're a thing.
And you know, we know two people that was doing that. Bitch, I'm being messy. Let me stop. Zipper.
That is messy.
Sorry.
That's messy.
Very.
That is messy.
Would it be the podcast if I wasn't a little messy? I love these mics.
Oh, that is messy. Oh, that's messy.
But you know, you take them out and touch grass. They take each other out and touch grass.
That is messy.
Very. What are they going to do?
Well, they're not. Well, it's not even like they listen. So there's that.
Valid.
There's that.
There's that. Oh. But yeah.
Oh my god. Okay. What?
I don't know. They love each other. Hopefully they're happy. Maybe no more clinic visits.
Oh, I would hope not.
You know, I gotta.
Go ahead.
Maybe he couldn't do it right on the female because he's so used to going down on the penis. Cause you can suck but not eat coochie. I know people that can suck a mean penis but can't eat not nail like ass. So you know, I feel like it'll be the same. Anyway, you know, people wasn't so accessible back in the day. You know, you had to find out the magazines and stuff about celebrities and stuff of that nature. And like you said, you used to have to take people out and touch grass and be seen in public places just to see stuff. So that's how you knew people were together. That's how you know people were to go.
I like how you wrapped that back around.
Quickly.
My God.
Ooh, the first 8 minutes has been something, huh?
Yes. Yes, I didn't see that. That was a hard turn. I did not see that coming.
It was a detour.
I didn't see that coming at all.
You know, 85 goes straight through Atlanta, but if you take 285 and come back around, you end up being 85 again. You know, you take 459 and come back around, you run back into 59 again.
You're right.
How was your drive down here?
Blissful. No traffic. You know, that's always good.
Remember, don't stop in Coleman.
You know, I can't even tell you what Coleman is. That's just how much I... Straight ahead.
Speaking of which, we never talked about that. We're going to add that into the segment.
We will add that.
I'm going to say this.
Just go straight into it.
You bitches in Coleman talking about something. We're not like that no more. That's not how it used to be, baby. If you was like that once,
you're like that forever.
Ain't nobody left. And you talking to somebody who used to work in Coleman. For a company out of Coleman. Baby, if it wasn't daytime, I wouldn't leave in that yard. I rarely left the yard. If I stayed on the night on the yard, I wrapped my seatbelts through the door. And I was working for a trucking company out of there. Great company, but still.
I think what we know about people is that people love to rewrite history for themselves. Unfortunately, when it comes to specific points in history, there's no rewriting that.
Them people still alive.
Yes. Yes. Even the people who are speaking up, you know, for Coleman, the people who created that narrative around the place are your parents, your grandparents.
Your aunties.
Your aunties and uncles. Your second and third cousin. Like, those people are the reason that that exists.
That exists.
So.
And I'm going to use one of your terms. And for that little lily white boy to come on TikTok and say, I've never experienced racism or seen anything that happens. Bitch, you're white. Of course you're not going to.
And that just goes to show that they just think that anything that goes against a person or tells someone no, that you can't be here, they view in the eyes of racism. And that's the problem we have today, where even when black people are saying something, it's like, oh, you're just being racist. Well, black people can't be racist. We're talking about systems. Racism is a system.
Racism is a system. It's systematic, people. Let's get that right. Racism is systematic.
It's a system. So I think that is the problem, that even that right there, people try to make it just across the board thing. And that's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
Now, do I think that during the day it's safe? Absolutely.
Now,
because even back then, during the day, it wasn't safe. It just became unsafer. You know,
at nighttime,
you
might not. During the day, you might be good. I was able to go to the Walmarts and stuff, but right. That's as far as I went.
Right.
I didn't get no side eyes or nothing like that.
What's that city in Florida that man took me to?
Go, you know, I forget the name of it. Apalachicola.
Yes. Very safe during the day. You do get some stares. Your service may not be the best, but it was safe. Was not going out at night. And even with that being safe during the day, again, there was still instances. Like when we went to a beach, when those people realized that there were black people on the beach in their proximity, they gathered their things. And they didn't move down. They left.
She gathered her things. And some of yours.
And some of yours.
and left.
So,
yeah.
Even before we, and I had to have this thing, you know, when we were in therapy, having that conversation about it and bringing it back up. And I was like, you just didn't realize the Airbnb was not clean?
Ew.
Do you think it wasn't clean because they just didn't clean it? Or do you think it wasn't clean because we're black?
Because you see each other's photos on Airbnb.
Exactly. And everybody else's comments, that was white. They had good experiences. Very good experiences. Before we could even leave the place, that lady was already outside waiting for us to vacate the premises 2 hours early.
Oh, some places you just don't belong.
Right. But I'm sure if someone was to mark that and make a TikTok about it, I'm pretty sure the people who live there would say differently.
Of course.
They would say differently. But for the people that visit, one of my former bosses is someone who visits. When I told her, her first thing was, what the fuck were you doing down there? That was the first thing she said. What were you doing there? And who told you it was safe to be there? And she's white. She's white.
Let me know. They know. They native will tell you. Or the ones that cool you.
Right. But that also just goes to show that when we talk about things and we say that people who are supportive and who frequent with black people, whether it's friendships, relationships, they still allow certain things to be present in their life. Because again, she's a frequent visitor of this place. Someone who frequents or has frequented with black people and has black friends. And in my head, it just says that, or a real life point, if I'm friends with you and you are friends with someone who is homophobic, then there's no way in hell that you're my friend. Okay. And so in that same regard,
what conversations are you having with them?
Boom. And in that same regard, if we're friends and you occupy racist spaces, then we are not friends. Because somewhere down the line, you agree with something. You may not overtly agree, but you for damn sure covertly agree. There is no in between. There's no in between. And they go for your meemaws too.
Meemaws is crazy, but valid point. Valid point. It goes for your meemaws too.
It's just
something we forgot to discuss in last episode.
Yeah. But moving on, what do we want to start with? What do we want to start with?
We're going to start with the party.
The party. Now.
Shout out to the Divine Nine.
I don't know. I don't feel no ways. I think they acted appropriately, honestly.
Like I told you, there's different perspectives.
I agree.
And you know, just like I know, cut through this line if you want to.
And
there's a video, because we gave no context. There is a video.
Yes.
Circle around the socials of the Deltas at a Kappa party came out to be. Mm-hmm. A Kappa party. A Greek space.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you. So people know what's up. And this girl decided she wanted to walk through the line. First, she laid her hands.
She did.
On someone.
And a lot of people have missed that part. That she
tried to push the girl out the way. And they reacted appropriately. Now, we do have the conversations of moving people out the way and hitting people when they try to cut our lines. Which, hey, catch a bow if you want. You see us coming, please move.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you occupy college spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Especially at homecoming, bitches. Y'all know what the fuck. Don't crowd around. You see all. Another topic, another day. But.
I. Like I said, I don't think they did anything wrong. Personally, they didn't do anything wrong. Some people love to say, well, if they had time to stop and, you know, stop her from cutting the line, they had time to just stop and just allow her to get past. Okay, two things can be true at the same time. But. That is not how this works. That's not how this works at all. That's the same regard as someone sees you in a line and they just decide to try to squeeze themselves past you by moving your buggy or moving you out the way. No excuse me, no nothing. And so what would be your reaction? And your reaction is going to be something not that great. It's
something
not going to be
not
the most
great.
Adult-like response. And people, I love that people love to put a thing on what they should have or what could have happened. We can say that, but when you're in the moment, those things are not relevant. They're not going to be relevant most times. They're not, especially in a club setting. Hello, it's a club. Everybody been drinking. Get a grip. Get a grip. And I love the people who try to take the aggressive. Oh, we would have had to fight. Okay, and then you would have been jumped. And so then what?
And then
you would have thrown the leg.
Because it was a lot of them. It was a lot of Deltas. And I know y'all saw all them walk past, stroll past. I know y'all did.
It was a lot of them. And so you would have threw that lick, and when they jumped you, then what? Then what? Even I seen some Greeks say the same thing. Oh, Azeda, I seen in the comments on TikTok, oh, they would have had to fight about it. Me and my sister, junior sister would have what? Because you being Greek.
You should know.
Oh,
not
you
to
know
that.
Better. And so that means you would have deliberately did it. Which would have been an ass whooping well deserved.
You better ask the alphas.
Like, you just don't, you don't do certain things, or you don't try to do certain things. You can always tell the people who have not been to college or didn't do anything when they were in college because they operate in a completely different headspace. But even then, in this day and age, social media, you know better. You know better. It's not that hard. It's not that hard at all. It's a matter of respecting the way. The whole, oh, they think they're in the game. That bothers me. oh, they think they're hood. That bothers me because what logic are you applying here? Oh, they think they're a gang. When most college, you know, attendees probably are gang members or former ones. Look at your basketball stars. Look at your NBA stars.
You know something funny? I do like to say. People like, y'all a gang. Yeah, a legal one. Now what?
Quite literally.
So now what? We're a legal gang. So now what?
It is. It is. But like, you L.I. hood niggas don't go to college. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You L.I. hood niggas don't go to college. Because they absolutely do. And it's still a matter of respect at the end of the day. And it's a give and take. It's a give and take. They should have whopped her. Should have whopped her. I'm not gonna hold you. That's just me.
I've seen it happen.
That's just me. I don't give a damn if it was a line. We could have been electric sliding. You see us. Come on now.
And people don't walk through those. When you do the bunny hop shit, people don't walk through that shit.
Because you know fuck better. And if you do, someone just might hit you, not even on purpose, but bitch, you see us dancing.
You see us dancing. Same concept.
Quite literally. Same concept.
Huh.
Whooped ass. I personally, I'd whooped ass. I whooped ass. She'd have called a mean bow. She would have called one of them Tuskegee elbows. Have you not seen them Delta's bows in Tuskegee?
Oh, girl, them in Auburn.
I mean, a mean bow. She would have called one of them because what are you doing? Yeah.
Love KU.
I do love KU. I love them so much.
So much. Because when you said Skeegee, I was like, Skeegee who? I thought you was about to say Sigmunds. I was like, what did they do?
You are messy. Because what you said that for?
Because I was like, when they clap on bottles. What's funny is while we on the topic of Greek life, when we went down there, and they other Greeks thought they was gonna bully us like they bully them.
That's a memory.
Found out quickly.
That's a memory.
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that.
Who was it? The Q's?
I think it was the Q's for. Was it Q's for y'all or for me? I think it was the Q's for y'all and it was the Alphas for me. Because I think the Q's pushed you and Zach. And when the Alphas had like just about mushed me in my face and I ended up mushing him.
Yeah. Yeah, they learn real quick. You're not bullying these siblings. We're not.
We're not your siblings.
Yeah. We're not your siblings.
And it's only three of us.
It was only three of us.
Good times.
Memories.
Shout out to Tuskegee. Always a good time.
I don't know no more. They out there ducking and dialing bullets, huh?
Nah, you saying that, and bitch, literally they started shooting that night we was out there. Remember?
They showing up to you.
Yeah.
They showing up fucking. What was we?
Zach had just got the car. Bitch, you took off running.
Where did I go?
I don't know, but you took off running. Zach was in the car, because all I heard was, bitch, get down, duck. They not shooting at me.
No. What the fuck did I run to?
I don't know where you went, but I know when I turned, you was gone. Because I was still walking.
Always learn. Bullies don't got the name on.
They sure don't, but they. I'm covered. I was not doing that.
What the fuck? Where we at, Skeegee, when that happened?
You said where?
What was we at? Was we at that little apartment complex thingy?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a bunch of us there then, wasn't it? Because then one tricycle was there too?
When they started shooting, it was just us. When they started shooting, we were walking somewhere. It was GB was there too.
Oh. Why are them niggas always with us?
We are a family.
It's just, they always be with each other, and then certain select ones gravitate towards us and come with us.
We're a good time.
I think they know that. A great time.
We're a great time.
A great time. That tells you a lot about the straights. You can always have fun with the homos. We're going to have a good time always. We ain't going to be standing on the walls.
Oh, no. No. Not in this homecoming. Definitely not. Mm-mm. I'm just going to shake my ass, baby. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't feel no ways about the pushback. It was just a push. She was all right.
She was all right. She was all right. In other news, breaking news, gospel artist, Grammy Award winning gospel artist LeAndrea Johnson arrested for public intoxication. The only reason they're making that much noise is because she's a gospel artist. That's why I was making that much noise. If she was R&B or rap, it wouldn't have been.
I agree with that. I can agree with that. I know she released a video talking about it. The whole pray for me thing is a little old. I'm not going to hold you.
Go get help.
Yes. Because this is not the first time.
This is not the first.
Not the second time. LeAndrea has been an alcoholic for a very long time. So I just think she needs further help. And she she's help. Been on what's that lady's name? What was that lady's name? Ayanna Van Zandt. She was on there and that was the same conversation. She needs more help. But also what I appreciate outside of the getting arrested for it, but she doesn't put on a front as if she's holier than thou or better than. Like, we all have our struggles. That's a part of living, having the struggles. And
God never called him to qualify. So.
Come on. Hello. He called on the sinner.
Always.
He calls on the sinner. He wants the person that knows what it's like because that person can better speak and relate to the people. The word says be separate.
Hey man, if we had a camera.
It says be separate. And so, while they're going to try to hold her feet to the fire.
They are.
I think it's important to also look at the others, because it is very rare that we hear about the things that the men do. And she's just drinking. What about, you know,
abusers?
The abuse.
Sexual assault. Murder.
Adultery. Thievery. Fraud. These are things that also
bending your hand and then putting on somebody's face in the middle of church service.
Okay, he was preaching about something. He was making a point. Still nasty.
He would have took hawk tub in his hand.
He wouldn't been able to get that far. And since he made the first, I don't know what you think you're finna do with that. But let's stop, okay? Let's stop. We on camera.
I hate that. I would hate for you to get your ass beat.
On camera.
In the sanctuary.
Because I'm not above. I'm not above nor below. I'm just not. I just.
what I say? You see that book? I'm not in there. Nowhere in the Bible.
Didn't mean to say, I'm not in there, so I don't play by those rules. And don't.
Not in there. They didn't talk about me in there at all. So
I just it's just a lot more things to focus on. Mm-hmm. I do want her to get help. I think that will be, you know.
It would be good for her to get help.
Yes.
It would be really good for her to get help. I just hope they don't try to, drag this. Excuse me, Momonto. Recording. Christian, we're recording the podcast. I'll call you back. I hope they don't try to drag it. Just because who she is.
I don't think they will. Hopefully again, not. Only because it's not the first time. Like, it's not the first time. So there's really no reason to, like, make it headlining news. I just want her to get some help. That's all I want.
That's really all you need.
Yeah. For her to get.
It's too close to Christmas, girl. You got no concerts to go be in?
Probably not. Well, you know, they do a lot of performing. Well, she stays in Georgia, I believe. So they do a lot of performing around there.
Yeah.
Showcases and things like that. But leave that woman alone. She just need a AA me.
That's quite literally. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she finds her peace.
Mm. It was a little too soon, but.
Was it?
Yeah.
How?
Boom.
We had 31 minutes.
Cause we spent so much time talking about the motherfucking bowls.
Well, yeah. Hey, I do hope she do find a peace though. Real nigga shit though.
I'm not going to snack.
You don't think so?
No. No.
Huh.
Not like that. Love, I mean, unless she just wants to put the bottle down.
She can take a shot and leave it alone. It always go further than the shot.
Not when we're talking about small alcoholism.
I know. Mm-mm.
That's too... That goes back to me when I used to tell you I don't keep alcohol in the house. Like, it takes real... It takes real live control to not drink. Alcoholism is genetic in a way. It is something that can be passed down to you.
Almost definitely. Have you not met my family?
Right. So, like, a good example for me is that my mom does not drink. My mom's not a drinker. She does now that she's gotten older, but it's like certain things, but she's not a drinker. My aunt, however, is. That comes from my grandmother. And so, for me, when I was in my early 20s, I saw a pattern that I quickly had to stop.
Mm.
Because it just...
You was going down that road?
It was something I could never see myself doing in real time. Mm. And knowing that I grew up watching my grandmother in the bottle and how it would affect her emotions and things like that, it's just something I never wanted to be my reality. And even then, how it affects you health-wise.
That's true.
So, for her, no, she's going to need a complete drawback.
Side note, my father was an alcoholic and a chain smoker.
Bitch of you.
He still is a chain smoker. But my father was a bad alcoholic.
Mm.
If you ever listen to his trucking stories, most of his accidents, or most of this shit, this man flipped the truck.
Damn.
Rolled it down the bay, drunk, got out, had somebody take him home, sobered up, took a shower, went back to the accident scene like ain't shit happened. This was years ago, though. He was bad. There's pictures of him laying in the tub.
Mm-mm.
Gone. Yeah, truck driver used to be off that shit back in the day. I just want y'all to know that shit.
I'm still on. But like, it's, alcoholism is something that affects people just so wildly. Like a lot of my cousins are alcoholics. Like, a lot of them. And it's just something you just fall into doing, really. And it just becomes an easy escape.
It does.
So, I think that's her thing. I feel like sometimes it's her trying to find an escape. But it's trying to figure out what you're escaping to.
That's true. Because didn't she have a lot of trauma?
She's been homeless and stuff like that. But, like...
And the pressures of being a gospel artist, I know.
I don't see where the pressure at.
I guess to try to withhold the image. Like, look at... I was about to be messy.
What you finna say?
I said, look at Kiara. She wants to be worldly. She used to be, as far as I could tell from her early music. And even the recent album she dropped, it was not giving... It was giving gospel, but it was like, I really don't want to be here.
I mean, I think that's gospel music in itself. I think music in itself is trying to find a way, especially gospel, trying to find a way to appeal to the younger generations, which is why we get into these failed rap artists and failed R&B singers. making gospel music. And I think that's what that is. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. I just always felt like she wanted to do something different.
Like what? What was she going to do? Yes, Kira has a great voice.
R&B.
That doesn't mean she was going to be successful.
Quite literally.
They wanted Karen to do the same thing, but that doesn't translate to success. The voice doesn't translate to success. The music choices do. Okay. Karen Hilson. Kiki Wyatt. The voice does not translate to success. Music choice does.
Music choice
does. Lyrics do.
Valid.
Sound does. Your voice don't mean nothing. Kiki Wyatt has one of the best voices our generation has ever seen.
Never made the mainstream.
Boom.
That's just I want gospel songs just to be played on the regular, on the secular radio station. What was that song by BB and CC Wine? And ooh, me and mama listened to it the other day. Ooh. You ain't know if they were talking about God or a relationship.
I mean, it's one and the same.
But it was one and the same. But you got a point. Got a point.
I
say there was only, what, a few that did it. And the only one I can really truly think of is, what's her name? I can see her face as clear as day. I can see if she had a situation where she went to the hospital recently. No, it was a while back. And she had to come on. Thanks that she was all right. She got gospel songs and she got R&B songs. Kelly Price.
Oh.
There it goes.
Well, yeah. Kelly was able to. And then it came also from her being in the industry for so long.
Right.
So I think that's what has always worked in her favor. Well, for then. For the 90s and early 2000s. Right. Absolutely.
Now, no.
Now, no. No. It's not gonna.
She had a run.
Yeah. Her attitude's also nasty. So there's that.
There's
that.
There.
That, a lot of the attitudes are nasty. So.
Kiara Stewart. I've heard some terrible stories about her.
I mean, I think people have to remember that these are still people. These are still human beings. And I think when we talk about there used to not be such a focus on people, how did you know certain things? I think that is why.
Yeah.
And so now we get to see them in real time being themselves, being worldly, because they are people.
They are people.
They're human beings. So yes, they get to have attitude. I think the only time that attitude becomes like real deal, like, it's when it's the, well, I'm a celebrity. And so you should be bowing down to me. I think now that kind of attitude.
That's what fucked Jasmine Sullivan up the first time.
Right. Right. I think those kind of attitudes. But just a person having that attitude, just being a person, they're entitled to that. They're a human being.
Hmm. Valid.
They're human. They're human.
That's, you got a song called Human.
I'm just human.
Yeah, she got a song called, that song human. Actually rides,
she's,
though.
She's a human being. Like, hello. I think that goes great into this Travis Hunter guy and his girlfriend. You need them people to leave that girl alone. For one, cause we ain't gotta sleep with her or him either.
I have not much to say on that.
I do agree with people that she's not with that boy for love. I don't give a damn they have been here for 5 years. I think men are more focused on her being with him for his money. But there's no focus on the fact that he said this. He started dating that girl when he was 17 and she was in college. He moved into her apartment when he was 17. Nobody has said a word. That is not the focus on how that looks.
So she knew she was coming into some. And she grabbed.
That's
onto
why she ended up making the choice she did. I mean, because she said that he was not her type. I mean, he wasn't cute. He's not cute now. Not like that. He's not cute.
He's decent looking. I'll do it.
Fair. But when we talk about why she made the choice that she's made, it's not for his looks. It's not for his personality. It's definitely because she came to her senses. I do believe that. Now, do I feel bad about it? No. I mean, because get what you're getting while the getting is good. I mean, and we all want to see a black girl make it.
Really?
And I think that now that just became a topic. Her race. And she is a biracial girl. Her mother is black.
Oh.
Her father is Filipino, I believe.
So I'm a nerd.
And she went online and said that she was like obviously I take more after my father. I'm way lighter than him.
That's like, gonna always be the dominant thing.
But her mom, like, it's very visibly black.
And Meghan Markle's mother.
Yeah, very visibly. There's no denying it. And that girl, she's not hiding that. Because I think a lot of people are trying to attack that, oh, she's a white girl and you're just doing this for another white girl. And while that is a good point. We do see that a lot. You know, niggas put up with a lot and they're willing to overlook a lot because a girl is white.
Like clockwork.
No, here though. I don't know. But hey, he like it. I love it. It's his money. And I hope she takes every bit of it.
My God, today. You would do the same anyway.
I hope she takes every bit of it. I do. He's dumb enough to get it. She should be smart enough to take it.
Valid. Carl, I'm pulling up to the club. VIP. All drinks on me, but my gas tank is on E. Wipe me down.
I think that needs to be explored one day. Because why do you just stop and get gas? Why didn't you just stop and get gas?
It's probably out the way. I hate going out the way myself.
Hope that motherfucker don't crank up when you come back inside. I swear. But you in there buying shots.
I was thinking about that on them old Chevys.
But you in there buying fucking shots. I hope that motherfucker don't crank up. But moving into the finding one's peace. How does that happen?
It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And I really need people to understand that doesn't happen overnight. You don't wake up and just be at peace.
True.
If you wake up and be at peace, bitch, you probably did. If you wake up that relaxed, you're probably dead. See you on the other side. Hey, you know, people always be like, I was so at peace when I was dead. Why did you bring me back? Yeah, if you wake up in that much peace, bitch, you probably did just that quick. You, Family walking slow and shit.
I think they're finding peace. I do agree that it takes time.
It takes time. Think
in order to find the peace, you have to know what kind of peace you're looking for.
What kind of peace you're looking for.
So I think creating a space for yourself is important.
It's important. Getting to know yourself is important because,
yes,
especially for you people that we call serial daters, you try to find peace in other people and you haven't even found peace in yourself yet. You don't even know yourself. You can ask a bitch, tell me something about yourself. What, my favorite color is blue? Bitch.
Ain't nobody ask you your favorite color.
Ain't nobody ask you your favorite color. You ask a motherfucker, what do you know about yourself? I like dogs. Girl, do you know what makes you angry? Do you know what makes you happy? Do you know where your happy place is? Do you know when you need to walk away from a situation? Do you know when you need to walk to a situation? Do you know how to disconnect? Some people don't know how to disconnect. Sometimes disconnecting can bring you peace.
Yes. Detachment.
In a healthy way. In a healthy Absolutely. Way. Because you can detach in a very unhealthy way.
Right. And most people do, especially men.
Almost definitely. I do it all the time.
Right. Right. I think sometimes peace is about getting comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Most definitely.
Stepping outside of what is the norm to you, whether that's where you live, you know, what job space you're in, what education you're seeking. Sometimes changes have to be made in order to find certain peace.
Change is scary.
It is, but it is necessary. And so I think, especially for the generation before us, where that's where we see a lot of them now, they're older, they're finding what is their peace. And it's taking them so long to get there that they make mistakes, of course, but they're doing it in their own right. And I think that's what makes it important to find that peace when you're young.
When you're young, because as I think about the generation before us, mind you, their generation is late 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. That includes parents. Mm-hmm. Still trying to figure themselves out.
And finding what is their peace. And not allowing people to disrupt said peace. That is a very important thing.
Proud of my mother. She's getting there. I just need her to drop off one more baggage. I just need her to drop that motherfucker off. I'm just waiting. And I know she'll be good after that. So.
Did I keep pushing? I do my mom that way. She's done well.
I mean, can I just...
Taking us a long time to get here.
Terminate said person.
You just have to do certain things. You have to not allow certain things. And I think from even my mom in her age, my mom's what, 51 now? 51, 52?
Dang, your mama not that far behind mine? Mm-mm. Hold on, 25, mama 54.
Yeah, no. Yeah, my mom's 51, 52, because my dad is finna be 56, I believe. I think. I'm pretty sure.
You got young parents.
Yeah.
My dad is 60.
Yeah, my parents were in their mid-20s.
Mom was 30.
Yeah.
I was a 30th birthday gift.
Oh, fuck no.
That's a 30th birthday gift. She had just turned 30.
My parents were in their mid-20s. And it's like when you are able to find that peace, you won't allow people to disrupt the peace. So mm-hmm. One of the things I do like, you know, and we talked about this, was that this doing this has opened some doors. It's opened some doors.
Right.
And while it was not something that my family was privy to before, they are privy to now, which has opened the doors for apologies and people to admit things. And my mom has gotten a lot of those. But she has not allowed it to disrupt her peace.
She shouldn't.
She has stated how she felt to said people, how they've made her feel in the past, accepted said apology,
and moved on.
And sometimes that is important too.
Most definitely. Not to dwell in the situation in the moment and not to send yourself back to that time.
Yes. And that has been something I like. Now she's gotten it, because before it was hard. Sometimes my mom would get stuck in the, it was almost like a trance or something, like made her remember something and she'd be stuck. And I'd tell her, you can't do that to yourself. Mm-mm. You can't do that. You are older now, but also look at how far you've come outside of those situations.
Right.
And so that brief moment of memory, you're allowing it to take you back and sit you back in that moment emotionally.
And it shouldn't.
And it can affect you physically.
It really can. It really can.
And so you have to cultivate your peace and not allow that to happen. And she's done well.
We're still working on that.
You gotta tell her to
still working on that. My mother is hard-headed, so hard-headed. Speaking of parents, I need some of y'all to understand that millennials and Gen Z, because millennials and Gen Z, we most definitely will, I like to say, protect our peace the right way, because a lot of bitches will say, I'm protecting my peace, to release themselves of any accountability of how they mishandle people. And that'd be pissing me off. Because y'all, I'm protecting my peace, bitch. No, you just don't want to be accountable for how you mishandle people. And you're rude, you're selfish, disrespecting, mean, and selfish with an attitude. K. Michelle.
Now, hold on.
My cousin, when she was a baby, she used to say that, and she'd add K. Michelle to the end of it. Because she used to think K. Michelle was like very like attitude-ish. So she was like, K. Michelle, I mean business.
Listen, now, hold on, you're not gonna wax her like that.
Michelle. Because she pretended she was Camp Michelle. So don't get upset when your child protects their peas. They have that right. It's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful because that's the only thing y'all gonna bring it up as is disrespect. That's not what that is. Your child has the right to protect their peace. Your child has the right to disconnect in moments where they feel like that you are not allowing them to be comfortable in a situation. I mean, uncomfortability is cool, but you get what the fuck I'm goddamn saying and shit. Hey, y'all.
I think what you're trying to say is when you are making your children to feel that they are not being both heard and seen.
There we go. Hell, y'all, I'm not good with words.
Which is, it's funny, my mom, that was one of our conversations about a month or two ago. And it was rehashing things of my childhood and just growing up together. And I had to express to her that you didn't see me. You didn't see me. And so you miss things. And so a part of me growing up and even in being adult is me always allowing you to be you and seeing that you are human. I think a lot of times that we as children, we get the notion that our parents are superheroes, adults in general, or people with superpowers. And so we don't see them and the mistakes that they sometimes make as them just being human and being allowed to do such. And we just feel like they shouldn't be able to because they're the adult. And now we're adults.
You're asking for that same grace.
And we're asking for grace and mercy where sometimes there should be none. Mm. But it's important to extend it because you have to see, hear, and understand that a person is human and mistakes will be made.
Now you can definitely, too.
Right. And you can definitely tell that when someone's being intentional.
You can tell.
You can tell when someone is being intentionally rude, intentionally disrespectful, but you can also tell when someone has just made mistakes. And a part of that is being able to admit to those mistakes. One thing my mom has done well, she's done great in. It may cause some friction at first, but she's able to sit in the friction and take in my words to see where I'm coming from and then say, okay, I see where I made this mistake here. And I can only apologize for that. I can't go back and fix it.
You can't go back and fix it.
We can't. All I can do is apologize and we move forward.
And we move forward. But me and my mother has had similar conversations. Also, having conversations like that with your parents will bring you some sort of peace. All especially the peace. Hashing out what happened in your childhood. Because yes. A couple of times, me and my mama didn't start having these conversations till I started driving trucks. Which is recent. So
recently.
Recent. And we got into some deep conversations and it probably brought her some peace. I never asked her the question of if it did. Mm-hmm. But I know it brought me some. Because especially those of us who parents, we were their only child. Mm-hmm. Like my mama tell me all the time, I only did what I thought was right. I didn't know
right.
that it hurt you. I didn't know that it wasn't right for you. I just did what I thought was right, what I had dealt with growing up. Not everything, because our mother was abusive. White women. But, you know, hey. And I can only be like, you did the best that you could right. with what you had. And I can't fault you for that. Mm-hmm. Even though I dealt with certain traumas and certain things growing up that she didn't know that she was doing. Because she thought, and the big thing that we had the conversation of, she thought she was making me, and I'm putting air quotes, a man.
Right.
And that's, and I was telling her, that's not how you do that. That wasn't for me. Every child is different. Yeah, molding one into a man might have worked for my cousin, but it might not work for your child.
Right.
You got to remember that. And so we just had those conversations. She apologized. I apologized for the shit I did growing up because I was ruthless. I was ruthless and rebellious. Makes sense why I like a lot of rebellious jazz music. So, I love rock music. But, hey.
Clearly.
That's Kayla's.
Oh. Because I was scared. There was a lot of lack of color up here on this wall.
I've listened to a lot of those people, though.
Except for Michael Nimson right here.
You don't see Tina Marie sitting up there?
Who is that?
Ain't that Tina Marie?
Charlie might be.
You know Tina Marie was black.
I know Tina Marie was a white woman with a black voice.
Exactly.
That's all I know.
Exactly.
A white woman. Still. Mm-hmm. Girl, you know, I don't get down like
she
that.
She the only one that accepted. Mm-hmm. And still the only one this day signed to Motown. The only white woman to ever sign to Motown.
Hey, I love that for her. Love that for her.
She gave us some bops.
She gave us a lot of stuff. Love that for her. Still a white woman. Girl, you don't trust no white person.
Lord of mercy. Back on topic. But, you know, hey, having conversations like that, and don't, I also say this, in your journey of finding your peace, if you want to have those conversations with your parents, don't rush it. Let it flow naturally. For me, it had to flow naturally.
And don't back down.
Don't back down.
I am, for those of you that know me personally, I'm finna say what I have to say. And your feelings at this point in time do not matter. Because, and especially when it comes to your parents, when we get into that, your parents want their feelings to matter above yours. And one thing that me and my mom had to hash it out, because it was, you're being disrespectful. And I had to, no, I'm not. You just want to feel that way because you can't sit in what I'm saying.
Yep.
I need you to remove your feelings. I need you to remove your feelings. And I need you to listen and understand what I'm saying. Not listen and respond. And that has to be a give and take, too. You have to be able to sit and listen to what your parents are saying, on because somewhere down the line, what you'll see is that something was miscommunicated. Something was misunderstood, which has led to a confrontation, even in the past. We know that when we hit our teenage years, that's when we become the most, you know, we're coming into ourselves in real time.
Them hormones be kicking your ass.
And so,
kick mine.
A lot of times it's because of that, you don't want to listen. Because you think that you're making the right decisions for yourself. And if you just take a moment to listen, no heavy lifting. I love that. If you've never watched Illegal Tender, I implore you to watch it. Me and my mom, that right there, me and my mom to the T. And one thing my mom said to me, I need you to listen. I'm not asking you to do anything else. Listen. No heavy listen. Just shut the fuck up and listen. Because you don't know it all.
Yeah.
Especially in this time and juncture. You don't know it all. You have only lived but a piece of life. Where I have lived your lifetime and then some.
Quite literally. Still into this day.
Right. Because even still, there are things to be learned. Life will never be perfect.
Learn different things every day.
Right.
You always have to be a lifelong learner.
I mean, that's what life is about. It's about learning things. But you can learn them while having that peace. Everything don't have to be a hard lesson.
It doesn't.
And I think sometimes for us as black people, too, that's where we get lost at, because we think that every lesson has to be hard.
You had to, and everybody be like, well, I had to learn, so you got to learn, too. No. If you can help someone.
If you can help someone, especially your children.
Fucking slavery.
Right. If you can help your children, your duty as a parent is to give your children a life that you never had.
That you never have. You folks that throw your kids out at 18 will always be weird to me.
Or have your children paying bills. You know, piece by piece. And sometimes it does not happen in one generation. Sometimes it takes several. Sometimes. That's why we talk about generational wealth, which is why I also have a problem with and giving your wealth back to white people. But
another topic another day.
I digress.
Another topic another day.
I digress. If I was president, that motherfucking Virginia versus Levin is the first bitch down. I swear to God.
I swear to God.
the first to go. The first to go. But let me have it. What was I saying? Everything doesn't have to be a hard lesson. Like, as a parent, you have to make a life. And I think sometimes when we talk about children and having children, and some people, ooh, Elon Musk's mom literally got on the news and was like, you know, even though you're poor, you should still have children. You know, you don't have to go out. You don't have to have the best of foods. You know, when I had my first, we were in a one bedroom apartment. But then when I had my second, we were in a two. You see the progression there? And then I think there's another one, but they progressed into a house.
I'm happy this worked a different way, because I was like, whoa.
But it's like, but what I'm saying is, but her initial thing was, even though you're poor, you should still have children. It's not about what you can give them. The blessing is just having the kids. Now, whatever you get with that, just, oh, well, no, 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 no. Because children don't ask to be here. Your duty, your job as a parent is to give your child the best life possible. Everything that you never had. My mom, the reason why I've always had so much, my mom said, she's always said it. I was out to give you everything my parents refused to give me. That was from my education to game systems. That was from sports to music. Did she miss some things? Yes. She was a single parent. Make no mistake, my mom has been married. But my mother was a single parent. Parenting was her job and her job alone. Not no randoms. Because a lot of y'all problems too allow these random ass men to parent y'all kids. Which is why they end up touched. But I digress. But I digress. Same thing for stepmoms. Anyway. Your job is to give them the best. And that is something my mom sought out to do. And it's what you're supposed to do. It quite literally is. That in itself is peace. You're supposed to provide a life of peace. Children should not know what it's like to struggle. Do things happen? Yes. But that is why I've always been of the belief that you are supposed to be mentally, emotionally, financially, and physically stable before you go to having kids. Because children do not ask to be here, and so they should not know what a struggle is. They should not know what it is to go without a meal. You make that choice. And so you have taken peace from them. You have taken peace from a spirit that has only known it and put them in turmoil. That's just me. Create your boundaries.
Create your boundaries.
That's peace.
That is peace.
Leave that city.
Leave that state.
Leave that state.
Leave that state. Also, you hoes don't need closure. Ooh. Closure is not a thing. Let it be. Where is it? Let me rephrase. Everything doesn't need closure.
Boom. Okay.
Everything doesn't need closure. And then I'm going to say this again. You hoes don't need closure. Because everything does not need it. And you think, I'm going to find my peace when I get this closure. Maybe you don't need it. You ever thought about that? Like, I was having a conversation with a friend today. Mm. Everything happens for a reason. Everything moves for a reason. Some shit happens and you wonder why. Wondering is going to happen. Like, we were using this for an example. And I say that's why everything doesn't deserve closure. For example, like we was talking about moving, because you just brought up moving. And I hear people say all the time, well, what if something happens to my mom? What if something happens to my dad and I'm this far away? Bitch, what the fuck can you do?
Good point.
What can you do? Well, I want to be there if something happens. But what can you do?
It still happens.
It's still happening. Whether something happens to them very tragically, Lord forbid, or they get hospitalized, Lord forbid. And let's just say you living in Denver. You get a call. Your mother's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. They're not expecting her to make it. The only thing you can do is get on the flight. If you make it there when she passes away, you do. If you don't, then you don't.
Right.
This is why I say everything happens for a reason. And then it was probably a reason you was not supposed to be there. or you were supposed to be there. But you're going to seek that closure if you don't make it of why you were not there. That does probably doesn't deserve anything. You probably don't deserve closure from that situation. You'll eventually find out why you were not there. And you might find out years later on down the road. But in that moment of time, you probably don't need the closure. Or you might not get it at all. There's a rhyme and reason for everything. Relationships. You'd be like, oh, me and him broke up. Well, I just want closure from him. Do you really need it? Do you really need it? Or is it just going to open a door for more hurt?
Open a door. I can agree with that. I can agree with that on some fronts. I think some people want closure to kind of sometimes to absolve them of something to make sure that it was nothing that they did to cause this to end. But you get in kind of a blame game. And I tell people this all the time. My first relationship out of high school was very, very rocky. Very rocky. Bitch, if there was an award for cheating, I think he's at the top. I know he's in top five. I know he is. I know it.
Damn.
Like, and I felt that I needed closure. Now, mind you, this was after I had got banned from state for a little while.
Side note. Do my examples make sense?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. They do. Because I'd stop you if they didn't. Okay. But this was after I had been banned from state from beating up his roommates. Like, this was after a lot. And I still went round the corner to get closure because he was like, I just want to talk about things. I'm like, okay. He was like, I think we need, you know, closure. And in my head, I was like,
you banned from state?
Let me tell you something.
Are you still?
No.
Oh, okay.
Clearly. I've been in state a time or two now.
They don't know you.
That's true, too. So I wouldn't even fucking know. But I don't think I am no more. I think at that point, it was just so bad. Because, like, clearly I kind of broke in on campus. Because you can only go so far on campus before you need a security or badge. Of course, I didn't have a badge. I wasn't no fucking student. I rolled right past that motherfucker. I slipped in the dorm room. Kicked his dorm room door, slap open. Kicked his bedroom door, slap open. And the moment I heard a voice, and I knew it wasn't his, but I knew whose voice it was, that was it. That was it. Because he was sleeping with his roommate, who also had a girlfriend. He was sleeping with a lot of people, but he was right there in the moment. Now, the other roommate was just collateral damage. So sorry. So sorry to that man. He was collateral damage. But for that roommate, the other one, the first one, he was mine. He was mine. He was mine. Yeah. Yeah. And it was bad. Like, I had checked out. I had checked out. Because it was just too much going on at that time. And we had broken up when this happened. But, like, the call... It was just too much. It was storming outside. I had just straightened my hair.
It was too much.
It was too much going on. And when he called me to tell me what he told me, he knew he was on the road back to Tennessee. Because he knew that I was coming. He knew I was coming. So in wanting closure from all of that, from a year of just bullshit, to pull up to a house of someone that I knew. Someone that I knew was like frequenting with students. Because he was also sleeping with that person as well. Oh my God, today. Seeking closure is what made that man look me in my face and said, well, yeah, everything I was doing, all the cheating was because of you. It was your fault.
Fucked you up, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Seeking closure is what got me that response. Seeking closure is also what got a glass thrown in his face. Seeking closure is what also almost got his friend's house burned down because I lined their front yard with gasoline and lit it. So yeah, sometimes you don't need closure. It's not going to do anything for you, sugar. When we're seeking closure... Especially when it comes to relationships, that takes two adult people willing to admit to and accept what they have done wrong. It is about a relationship that ended, not necessarily on good terms, but on respectable terms, and able to see whether you were at fault, I was at fault, or we were at fault. That is where closure can become a thing. Real closure, when we're seeing closure, comes from things of our past. Again, addressing things with your parents, mm-hmm. addressing things with your siblings, mm-hmm. addressing things with your aunts and uncles. That is where real closure comes in. Now, the same rules still apply. The people have to be able to take their accountability and see it. And vice versa, if something was on your part.
Quite literally.
But that is the game that closure plays. Because you may not get it. And so a part of keeping your peace is making the closure with yourself. Mm. Acknowledging with yourself.
Holding yourself accountable.
Oh, holding yourself accountable.
A lot of y'all don't know how to hold yourself accountable. And sometimes I don't want to do it, but I know I have to, girl. Sometimes I just be like,
I love accountability. Let me tell you something. What I told you for that second episode, baby, you can't hold me accountable. I love holding me accountable. I said it, and what? I sure did.
Now, one thing about it, I'm going to say this. Like I tell everybody, if I said something once, bitch, I will say it again.
I can say it again.
To you.
Yeah. Now, whether it was wrong or not, we can talk about
and
that.
And I tell everybody in those group chats that I was in with the trucking group, if Zion said it, and I said it in front of everybody, if they said I said it, and you asked me if I said it again, I'm going to say it exactly how I said it the first time. Now what?
That's accountability. And it's like also but being able to see where you were wrong. If I said it or if I did it, I sure did. I apologize. Here's what I can do better. Now, that's a part of accountability. Here's what I probably should have done, but here's how I can do better going forward. So how do we move on?
In the midst of somebody pissing me off, I'm not going to say that.
Oh.
I'm going to say I said what I said, and I'm going to say, so now what?
That's not accountability.
That's stuff. Crazy. So now what?
That's not accountability.
I know it's not, but so now what? I said what I said, and I said it again.
But do you feel it's about, do you feel that you are wrong for saying it?
Depending on the situation.
That's the point.
Depending on the situation, but a lot of the times I was not wrong for saying it.
Okay, but that becomes the point. If it's something that was wrong, is what I'm saying. When it comes to accountability, then you have to be able to take accountability for those things.
My mind automatically went into, bitch, you got me fucked up mode. I need to pull myself out of that.
Yes. There's no growth in that.
I know.
No growth.
I'm only 25. I'm in my 20s. What Zach said, I'm young and tired.
While that at one point was an acceptable thing.
I know.
Because a lot of people use that. Well, I'm young. Okay, and bitch, so was I. Now, I love it because my mom does that. She'll tell a bitch quick, bitch, I was 20-something too. What point are you making? And that becomes my point for some people. Because I'm only 5 years older than you. So we're not that far removed.
Not.
So there's not many mistakes that you've made that I haven't. But there are also some things that a lot of y'all do. Y'all just don't have to do. You just make the choice to do it. Consequences be damned. And the excuse can't be, well, I'm young and turned. I'm only 20. Okay, bitch, I was only 22. What does that mean?
So
when we talk about things like, again, saying things that are colorist, homophobic, misogynistic, sexist, those things, your age doesn't matter. Because I was once young, too. And I don't have a record of those things. Because you know right from wrong.
You know right from wrong.
Day. Or at least you should.
You should. You should.
So, age isn't a factor. It's really not. There is a difference between not knowing. Absolutely. Absolutely. But when you know better.
And continue to live in that ignorance, it's a problem.
It's just a choice you've made. But the answer for your choices cannot be,
I'm young and I'm turned.
Young and I'm turned, baby. It can't be that. Because young and turned can get you arrested.
Killed too.
Hello.
A lot of people that was young and turned that are not with us no more.
Come on. That ground got soft for a lot of people. It can't be your excuse. It just can't be.
But y'all ain't never heard that before.
What?
That ground got soft for a lot of people when but they dig that ground.
Hey, come on. My great-grandfather was the Grim Reaper. He dug graves for a living. It gets soft for a lot of people. People you never would have thought. So, your excuse can't be. It can't be that. Young attorney gets stabbed up. Find your peace.
Please.
Find your peace. Find what peace looks like.
For you.
For you.
It's different from... Don't let social media tell you what peace is.
Amen.
Because social media peace is not realistic.
Yeah.
It is not realistic. We will be like, well, I'll be at peace when I get the cars, I get the luxury, I get da-da-da-da. We are the only people dreaming of materialistic things. Confusing self-consciously.
If that was peace, what's that man's name? Because we have a lot of celebrities that commit suicide. And they were rich.
The man who owns Texas Roadhouse.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, he committed suicide a while ago. See, yeah, the man that owns Texas Roadhouse, he...
Bitch, you need to go eat a roll in his honor. I ain't know that.
He did commit suicide.
Did not know that. Point made.
Mac Miller. Overdose. But it's... suicide. I still count that as suicide.
What's the other man and the one who played Mrs. Doubtfire? Is it Robin Allen? Something like that? Robin Williams.
I thought Robin Williams was still alive.
Bitch. Ooh, what's that man's name?
I could have sworn Robin Williams was still alive.
What is that man's name?
Shit, Marilyn Monroe.
No, Robin Williams. Wow. Yeah. 2014. Suicide. Rich. Wealthy. Good life. And if we think that peace is in wealth, we are sadly mistaken. Because if that was the case, so many of our celebrities wouldn't be in purity hell with the decisions they make if they were at such peace. Find out what peace looks like. Make that move. Go out for that job. Leave that job.
Leave that job. Please.
Create a different friend group. Get a new partner.
It'd be about the spaces you occupy.
The spaces you occupy. Groupthink. Surround yourself with people who are
like-minded.
Yes, but are also seeking peace for themselves as well. Seek out relationships that don't take so much of you. That don't take you giving up you to make them happy. Because that is not what relationships and friendships are about. They shouldn't take you giving up you.
Don't allow the enemy to stop you from listening to the enemy.
There is a battle. Yes.
There is a battle. Don't let one side of you stop you from listening to the other side. Because your intuition will tell you when to move. It's just if you're going to listen to it. But the other one will sit on your shoulder and be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. The battle within yourself. Your spirit will move you. Religious or not, how you feel or think, you will feel it. It will tell you when it's time to go, whether you listen to it or not. Especially on a journey of protecting your peace and, like I say, going into your deepest, darkest places to pull stuff out to find your peace. In that journey, certain shit will happen. Certain shit may fall apart. But you need to be able to listen to when your intuition, for your religious people, when God tells you to move. Because you might be separating yourself from a situation that is going to allow you to find that peace. Like you said, remove yourself from certain friend groups. You've been with this friend group 10 years now. Since y'all graduated high school, all of a sudden, you start falling out with every bitch in the group. And you're like, I don't want to leave my friends. I want to be friends with them forever. Da, 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 da. But you on this journey of finding peace, right? Something's trying to remove you from that. Like I always say, in my journey and when I was, and still in my journey of finding true peace, I always ask, because I'm spiritual. Where I feel like when you say you're religious, you focus yourself in the religion. You can get religious with a lot of shit, and that is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I always ask to... remove, rebuke, and restore. Remove things that it's not for me. Remove people who are not for me. If it doesn't have anything for the benefit of me, remove it. But also prepare me for the removal. Because I do have to be prepared for that. Because sometimes you don't want to accept it. Rebuke. Rebuke anything that isn't for me. Anything that's coming my way that's going to try to make me bounce back into those ways. Rebuke it. Keep it away from me. And restore. Restore me to the way where I know that I'm going to be okay with this. I'm perfectly fine in this. This is meant to happen. This is for me. This is taking me somewhere where I should be. Allow me to handle it. I just live by the 3 R's. You know who I got that from? Jess Hilarious. I got that from Jess Hilarious, and it stuck with me since she said it on her podcast that one time.
Damn. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her.
But I just, in my journey of finding my true peace, I always live by that. So if something always happens, it's part of the process. I've lost friends along the way, gained friends along the way, lost materialistic items along the way, family members along the way.
It happens.
It happens. You think you wanted something so bad and it didn't happen? It wasn't for you. Right. It's probably going to disrupt your peace.
Right. And I think that is a good way to look at things in general. We oftentimes sit back and like make the comments like, why can I be born into wealth? Well, look at the material.
Look at the material.
Look at where wealth has gotten people. Yes, they have these things, but they're not happy.
Because you can be wealthy, but you ain't rich.
Yeah.
Because people like to say, oh, I want to be rich. Rich in what? And you'll say money. Okay. Rich in money. Are you rich in anything else? You ask them, what you mean by that? Are you rich in your life?
Right.
Your connections, your people. Your spiritual connections. Are you rich in that? Because before you can obtain one thing, you have to obtain the other.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you want to be someone who is wealthy in that regards, you have to prepare yourself for that. And money can fuck up your peace. Absolutely. People do say money can't buy happiness. Oh, yes. It can give you temporary happiness, but not long term. Money can solve all your problems, possibly. Yes. But will you be prepared for it at the time?
That's it on no beach.
Will you be prepared for it? You've never had it.
And I think that's what messes a lot of people up.
You've never had it.
You don't know what it's like
to
have this. Which is why a lot of people mess up with spending.
And you know, it sounds so very telling. Remember with the conversation we was having? I can get something and I have to post it.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell who never had it.
Bitch. Bitch.
You can tell who never had it. It's very telling. If you've never had something, you're going to want the world to know you got it. Just to prove a point. Because you never had it.
Mm.
You're gonna showboat. You're going to flaunt. Mm. You're going to put it out there. You're going to try to make people think you have it. But do you? Are you at peace with that? Is that bringing you peace?
In their quick mind, they would say yeah.
They would say yeah, but it's not. Because you're not doing it for you.
Correct.
And within finding peace and being in your peace, you have to do everything for you, not to make the gurus jealous. It doesn't
I agree.
Work like that.
I agree. I think that's why a lot of people mess up going back home to their hometowns. Because who are you? Who's to see?
And a lot of y'all who aren't used to having things and go to bigger cities. Mm. You think you're the shit in that city. Baby, you are a 10 in Troy, Alabama. You are a 10 in Troy, Alabama. You are at least a 3 in New York City. Sit down and be quiet.
That was shady.
That wasn't directed at nobody. That's just me being honest. I'm so serious.
I take what you said. I take it. It's just shady as hell. And it's shady because a lot of people don't see that. Of course, some people do feel like they're the bee's knees everywhere.
But you're not.
They're the cat's meow.
You don't run every city.
Everywhere.
What we said earlier, them niggas will put you on the ground.
Yep.
Sit down. And be ye still.
Be ye still. Be ye still.
Because, yeah, but you can always tell the people who don't have it. And you have to be prepared for that shit. Going from making 20K a year to, let's say you graduate college and get a six-figure job in a big city. Mm-hmm. Having that amount of income is going to send you over the edge a little bit.
Right. And the people around you.
And the people around you, which also goes into the rebuke, remove and restore, in the preparing of it all. You have to be able to handle that. But you can't handle it if there's no peace within. Don't go crazy. Especially when everybody's, especially you from small towns, I'm from small towns, auntie asking you for money, cousin asking you for money, because they know you working this big job in this big city.
You better practice that now.
A lot of people can't.
And I get that. My mom was one of those people who never knew how to say no. You have to practice saying no. I'm big on the hell now. And I'm a helpful person. That's someone coming from someone who, you have to say something. If I got it, you got it. But you have to know when to say no. No. And that'll show you exactly who people are in that moment, because their reaction will be a reaction you never thought.
You ever ask anybody for your money back? I don't even need your $100.
And I live by a principle. I'm not asking you for what you know you owe me. I just don't have to give you anymore. It's just that simple. I just don't have to. You can ask me and I can simply say no. I don't have to give you. You take that, what I did give you, and I hope it helps you and you stretch it a long way. Because if you didn't, oh well. But I'm not going to ask you for nothing you know you owe me. Mm-mm. Because if you don't have it, then what? Especially when I know you don't have it, then what? I have one or two choices: to suck it up or to beat it out of you. And only one is going to land me in prison, because I don't know how to stop. And so, you taking the habit. That's why I believe going back, when you go back home and go back to your friends, there are only certain friends who will go with you through life. Especially from your childhood. Especially from your childhood. There are only so many you will take. There are friends right now, or people who I was friends with back in high school, that reach out to me all the time and say, you know, when you come back, we should hang out. I give them okay and I keep going. I know I'm not going back to Provo. Well, if I do go back to Provo, I'm going to see one person.
You know?
But I'm not coming back to Provo to hang, sit, and chill. Because, no, you didn't leave.
You
know how many of my classmates have children by people who have children by people who they do not like, or by their cousins, or their sisters, or their brothers. Lord forbid, one of their parents. And you have stayed here. I'm not coming back there. You know how many people who have went back home that have things that did not leave? Dobie. I'm not going back there. When people ask me, will you ever move back to Mobile? Hell no. Hell no. I was a gang member back at home. I'm not moving back to Mobile. Not because I'm in any danger, but because trouble is easy to get in.
It's hard to get out.
Amen.
Easy to get into, hard to get out. Hard to get out. Also, for those of you who do move to a new city and you go home, let's say you visit home, and they get mad asking you, you know, you ain't come and see me, you ain't do this and third, bitch, you knew I was here.
Yeah, bitch.
You knew I was gonna be here. If you wanted to see me,
you would have came here.
You would have came here and saw me where I was located. I'm visiting, not you. Stop asking bitches when they're gonna come home. Why won't you go see them?
Right. Get out of that's an important thing.
Get out of your own city. Get out of your space. Some people have not seen, and I can use Clio for example. Some people have not seen outside the city limits of Clio.
Okay, today.
Or even out of the county line of Barber. Only thing you know is Eufaula, Clio, Louisville, Baker Hill, Blue Springs, Thomasville, Elamville. That's all you know.
Get from round now.
Get from right round now.
Is that a child story?
He has children. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But why is he?
They come here. Sometimes.
To do what?
When he has them.
To the baby son?
Yes.
What are you saying, sister?
But yeah, get up out of your own, like you said, get up out of your own city. Travel. You can find peace in traveling.
Amen.
You can find peace in traveling. Don't be like this bitch sitting across from me. We on the way to Houston. This bitch see the oil for refineries. Bitch, I thought that was the city. Girl. We get up on them, bitch. I thought that was a city.
Bitch, you saw them lights.
Girl.
You saw all them lights. You saw exactly what I saw. I ain't never been no fucking Houston. Hope.
You had never been to Houston. But it made me laugh. Because, you know, I've been on the road since I was two.
Bitch.
I've been some everywhere since I was two. Thanks to trucking.
I can't tell you.
That shit was funny.
I can't tell you none. Most of the traveling I've done has been in my adulthood. And it's been because of, like, you and, like, other folks. You and Caitlin. Like I said, I've traveled the most with y'all. The most. The furthest I've been even in childhood was to Ohio. But I don't remember anything in Tennessee because we never stopped. We never stopped through these other places.
Yeah, we never stopped.
Just went straight through. So, yeah, bitch, I thought we had made all the motherfucking lights. I knew it was a big city. Yeah. So I seen the lights. And I was like, hell yeah. We here.
Bitch, we weren't even outside of Baton Rouge yet. We weren't even outside of Baton Rouge yet. Bitch, I thought it was a city. No, girl, that's the oil refinery. That is the oil refinery.
I'm not ashamed.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. And it's good to have friends who are very diverse in certain things. Because I can get us from sitting right here where we are right now to a lot of major cities. No GPS.
That's crazy. I know how to get one place. If I don't know how to get nowhere else.
Home.
Baby, I can get to 1809 Cheeseman Ave. Let me tell you something. I know how. I don't go for where I am. I don't go for. When I had to take that trip to Idaho, and my coworker went to the wrong place because they didn't tell us it was two separate places, and luckily she reached out to me to tell me to change my information because I was set to leave the same week. If I had ended up where she ended up, there would have been nothing they could have told me. But bitch, I was getting home. And it's a shame to say that I was going to drive I wasn't even going to come to Birmingham. That's crazy. I wasn't going to Birmingham at all. I wasn't coming 205, 256 way. I was going to 251. I know my way to 1809 Cheeseman Avenue with my eyes closed, blindfolded, hog tied. Bitch, I bet I get home. I bet I get the Elton Taylor house. She ain't there no more.
I bet I get there.
That's how I take you.
I can take you somewhere well. No GPS, child. The insects get you there. Just gotta read the signs.
Read signs my ass.
Just gotta read the signs. Plus, a lot of this shit is memory for me now. I've been on the road since I was two.
Good Lord.
Well, I can get us to LA, no problem. We can leave right now. You might have to drive. I'm just gonna say drive straight. That's all you gotta do. Drive straight.
Drive straight in which direction?
Bitch, you know how to get the Mobile.
Amen.
That's what you just said. Get the Mobile, get on 10, and just drive straight.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You don't stop. 10 will take you all the way to LA. Now, so you're going to be like, you're going to get to motherfucking Texas, look around, Bitch, it's been motherfucking 24 hours. We still in Texas?
Yes.
I beg your pardon?
It takes a day and a half to get across the state of Texas. It is 900 miles across the state of Texas.
Fuck no.
You know that?
Hell no. Alabama.
Let me tell you something. I used to start at the Louisiana state line on the way to El Paso. I see El Paso the next day. It takes a day and a half to get across the state of Texas. If you drive in a car, it's going to take you a day and some change, a little bit. In a semi-truck, it's a day and a half.
Y'all travel more. Please, be like me. I don't know where shit at, so I'm trying to travel now.
Please travel. And don't be scared to go places. Now, certain places you should not go.
Call me.
Some places you should not go. That you should. Those middle states.
Kentucky.
I ain't talking about those middle states. I'm talking about those western middle states. Kansas, Oklahoma. Oh. Bitch, I don't know what the fuck is in North Dakota. Oh, ain't shit there for you. I mean, don't go to Tulsa, bitch. Please. You said the wrong thing to the wrong bitch. You might be dead. We want you to make it back. We want you to make it back. Me and Tulsa, in and out. You know, Minneapolis, be careful. You know?
Really? My God, today.
Let me tell you how bad Minneapolis is. Swift has a terminal slap dab in the middle of the fucking hood in St. Louis. You hear gunshots at night at that terminal.
Oh, I sleep well with them. Okay, that's fine.
The one in Minneapolis no longer exists. Uh-huh. Right. But you... Them bitches say, get out. And left. They gathered their things and left.
I mean, but I think it's a conversation about why they feel that they should build right there.
But you gotta know, Minneapolis... up there, that's Canada damn near. It's not much there. So it was needed a terminal for that for your drivers. Because between Minneapolis and Iowa, ain't shit. It ain't shit. So it was needed.
But in that specific location?
You know, company tried to buy. It wasn't actually that bad of a location. It was actually off to the outside of it, but still. But hey, you know. But anyway, find your... Find your peace. Like I say, peace and blessings and manifestations. I say that all the time. Love and light. You know, hey, find it. You might start glowing. You also might start glowing if you wash your face. But, you know, find it. Moisturize, too. You know, a good moisturizer. Know your skin type. Know if you're, you know, dry to oily or oily to dry.
You know. Did not come here for you to take shots like that.
Exfoliate. You know, stop playing in your face, please. You're covering up your pores. Anyway, know your skin type. Dermatology is not always a good thing. They will just take your money and just prescribe you some bullshit and break your face out. So I learned I was allergic to benzoyl peroxide. Anyway. Peace and blessings. This motherfucker. My God, today.